जयं श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नतिल्या प्रविष्टोम श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंतकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्री वासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसीदेवी की भक्तिदेवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूतले श्रीमद भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी हिदि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनं मां करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मामुद्धर भवार्णवा श्रीमद्भागवदाघ्योऽयं प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भवसागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयं सफलः सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्त्वं नोयत प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्य सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमनं तं नमामि हरिं परम् जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयादिदरदस् आर्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृदाय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ते यत्सूरय तेजो वारिमृदं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्झितकैदवोत्रपरमो निर्मत्सराणां सदा वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनं श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वरः सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यतेऽत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणान् निगमगल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं शुकमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबद भागवतं रसम् आलयं मुहुरहोरसिका भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नुमः यं प्रव्रजन्तं हनुभेदमभेदकृत्यं द्वैवायनो विरहकादरमज्जुहावां पुत्रेति तन्मयदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमतिथितीर्षदान्तमोऽन्धम् संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनां नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदादृदाननेन्दोः मम वाजि विजृम्भदा मुरारे मधुरीं न कनिकापि कापि कापि नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാ യാസാം ഹരിഗദോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദി ഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദഗീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാംബുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം ഭംഗം ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, we were looking at this important verse in the Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, in the chapter 14, isn't it? Shri Uddhava Vaja, Uddhava was asking this question, the first verse. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahma Vadinam Tesham Vikalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Ega Mukhyadaham. Uddhava's question was, the question which most lot of people have still doubts, because this creates a lot of vigalpam inside. What is that? Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahma Vadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Udaho Ega Mukhyada. The knowledge of the absolute truth is spoken by the learned circles, especially those who are in the Vedic tradition, who are very advanced in learning and realizations. They also seems to present the truth in different ways. Why? This is the Uddhava's question, isn't it? Uddhava wants to understand why there is so many different approaches to the truth. This is Uddhava's intelligent question, because all of us have the same question, isn't it? Why is it like this? Why is it like? Why is he said like this? Why is he said like that? We'll always ask this question. That's what Uddhava is asking. Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi. Now the interesting thing is, they are not ordinary people who are saying this. Brahmavadinam, who have reached that state of realization. And they say that this is what is Shreyas, auspicious for you. Each one of them say it. Every one of them are saying this. And the interesting thing is, they all hold Vedas are the authority. You see, Vedas are authority for them, all of them. They all say Vedas are the authority, but this is what we say based on the Vedas, this is the truth. This is how this has come, this question has come. That's why it says here, Vadandi Krishna Shreyamsi Bahuni Brahmavadinam Tesham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Idahyum Ega Mukhyada. Is all of them correct or one of them is correct? That's how it is. Are they all correct or one of them is correct? So that is why Krishna had to now go back to the very beginning and start talking about it, isn't it? And that's what we were seeing. And last Sunday we also spoke about that. We said that we also have the same question. Is Ramanujacharya is right? Or Madhvacharya is right? Or Shankaracharya is right? Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is right? Or Nimbarka Swami is right, or Vishnu Swami is right. All these questions are always there. Why is that so many different explanations? From the same Veda, same authority, they are coming forward and they say this is the right thing. This is what is called Esham Vigalpa Pradhanyam Raho Ega Mukheda. That means what, that's what it means. Why did this happen? This question has come from that. So we saw that the the sages and these great acharyas or the realized souls, they have spoken to us from a certain position, how they see the truth. That we have to accept that. There is no other easy way to reject that, because in all these different paramparas, great personalities have appeared. So it's difficult to reject one and say that this is right and this is wrong. Ultimately, it is not which acharya you follow or which shastram you follow that is not going to make the difference. What effect it has on you, that is more important. What's the point in discussing? That means you are making the judgment on the acharya and the shastra. This acharya is good, that acharya is bad. Or this shastram is good, that shastram is bad. So good and bad, they are not the issue. Shastram was not created with that in mind. Their intention was, it's not that which shastram you follow or which acharya you follow that is important. What effect has it got on you who is trying to follow the system? And that is what makes the difference. That is what Krishna is saying there. That this is where the secret of this knowledge is. The secret of the knowledge is. Knowledge is not something to be acquired and kept in the brain and kept left it like that, just like chemistry or physics or anything. It's not that. This knowledge is only beneficial if it has changed the person. The person has advanced in spiritual life and started realizing that I am not this body, then the knowledge is working. It doesn't matter from which source it's coming from. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, all of them are pointing out to the same one thing, self-realization, to realize what you are. And if it is helping you, from which source it comes, what does it matter? This is the question. Krishna is saying this, that this differences of opinion, which has come from Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam, and eventually now Ajitya Bhedabhedam, they are all from different positions. The acharyas are explaining the truth from their different positions. So who makes that decision then? That is what that verse in the Mahabharatam said. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gadasapandhaha. That decision is made inside here. You will accept what is necessary for you from inside. When Krishna is favorable, Krishna will tell you this is the way you go. And you will take that route. There is no question about that. Otherwise, if you have to study all the shastrams in the world and make a judgment, because you are making the decision based on your intelligence. That's what it is, isn't it? Which one is right and which one is wrong? That's coming from your, from the level of intelligence you are looking at it. And acharyas are seeing the Vedic literature and looking at from different positions, and they are saying this, their viewpoint also. Therefore, according to our own qualifications and our own position, we will get a particular shastram or particular guru in that state. So, dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. The secret is inside here. This is where the decision is made. Like the guha. Guha means the cave inside, isn't it? Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. That guhayam word, in two ways it is understood. One, it is very confidential. Therefore, it is guhayam. You remember Rajavidya Rajaguhyam, that confidentiality. Therefore, it is confidential. On the other side, this guha, as the Upanishads calls it, this guha inside is a very secret place where Krishna resides inside, and he will make that decision for you, what's good for you. And that will happen in any way at the end. So, which shastram you are following or which acharya you are following, that is not the criteria. The criteria is what is the influence of that shastram or acharya on me, that is what is important. That's what is important. So if you look at this, measure the things in this way, you can see in all traditions, Mahalpa have come. Advaitam, there are great personalities. In Vishishtadvaitam, there are great personalities in their parambara. In the Dvaitam, there are great personalities. And there are great personalities in the Ajindya Bhedabheda tradition. Shuddha Dvaitam, Dvaitam, Dvaita Dvaitam. In every tradition you will find, and Pushimargam, all, they are all different philosophies that are seen by the acharyas from different positions. In all the parambaras, great personalities have appeared. And that is the reason behind it. So, what to talk about that even among the atheists there are great personalities. You may think why it is like that. The reason is this. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look carefully, in the 12th chapter, there is a verse there. Advaishta sarva bhodanam maitra karuna evaja nurmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami. What it means is advaishta, no enmity towards anyone. Advaishta sarva bhodanam, to all living entities, no enmity. And friendship, maitra. And karunyam, mercy to other living entities. Karunyam evaja. Nurmama, no attachment to particularly anything. Nirahangaram, freedom from false ego. Samadukha sugakshami. That means in happiness and distress, not concerned too much about it, what happens in this. Krishna says, this should be the quality of a person. So if you see this, this is the sushmam side of the dharma. That means religious principles or spiritual life has to be based on the subtle side of these things. The sushma means the subtle aspect of that. So able to do that, these are all the internal qualities of a person. And Krishna calls them as dharmam. Krishna calls us dharmam. They are sushmam, isn't it? Sushmam means they are very subtle level, all these things. They are on a subtle level. Advaishtam means advaishta sarvabhudanam. To all living entities, friendship. Maitri. To all living entities, no enmity towards anybody. Maitri, friendship. Karunyam, mercy. And nirmamam, no attachment, particularly mamada, it's mine, that feeling doesn't exist. Nirahangaram, freedom from false ego. And samadukha sugakshami. Krishna says in samam, sukham or dukham, samatvam, equality in either way. So these are the sushmam side of it. So wherever this is seen, Krishna says, wherever it is there, he says that these symptoms are the law, or the law. Are the rules. These are the rules. And if you find that, sometimes you can find among the atheists also these qualities. So you can't reject them because they are atheists. You just can't reject them. Why? Because the qualities what Krishna is talking about is there in them. Now, the question is that dharmam is called, Krishna calls it as sushmam. Sushmam. But now there is another dharmam which is known as sthulam. Sthula dharmam. Sthula dharmam is what? Sthula dharmam is like this, that after bathing you have to dry your hair. Or after going to toilet you have to bathe before you prepare food or before eating food. And things like that. This is sthula dharmam. Sthula dharmam is important, but important than sthula dharmam is the sushma dharmam. Sushma dharmam is more important than the sthulam, from the gross things. From the gross side. They are external things. While living in this world, for example, in a particular way, you have to dress the clothes. You have to dress. That is a sthula dharma. It is. For example, in this room now, some people are dressed in dhoti and kurta. And some people are dressed in trousers and shirts and all that. Can you say that because somebody is wearing trousers and shirts, he's all bad person, and those who are wearing? So you can see good people in all, irrespective of what dress they are wearing, whether they wear trousers or whether they are dhotis, there can be good people in either of them. Similarly, just because somebody is wearing a dhoti and kurta doesn't mean that he is always a good person. They are external things. They are not there just because that is not what Krishna has spoken about in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying all about the sushmam side of it. And that is important. That is advaishta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami. Similarly, in ajaram, in our practices in life, you will have a lot of adjustments to be made. For example, if you go to some parts where the weather is warm, you have to go to the temple without shirts on, without clothes on the top. Whereas if you go to Badrinath, you can't do that, can you? The weather is so cold that you need to have some upper covering of the body. So it's necessary. So according to the time, place, dharmam will change. Sthula dharmam will change everywhere. Sushma dharmam doesn't change. That is the interesting thing. Sthulam, the gross dharmam, will change from place to place, according to the place and circumstances. But sushma dharmam, what Krishna has spoken, remains same for all situations. That's one interesting thing. So the sages So just because somebody is dressed in a particular way, you can't say that he is better than somebody else. These things are there. It is a system to respect the sampradayam. That's all. To respect the sampradayam. You go to a particular, go for a salsangam or go to the temple, you dress in a particular way. That is just a respect to the sampradayam, that what you are following. That's all it is. So, but that is not enough. Sometimes you will have to change them also. So, desha dharmastu bujyadam, it says in the Bhagavadam. Desha dharmastu bujyadam, according to the place and according to the situation, it has to change. So, Krishna spoke about certain things in the Bhagavad Gita that should be internal. Internally, it should be present in a person. For he said there that the unnecessarily, maitri bhava means friendship to all the other living entity, equal vision, samabuddhi, shanti, peacefulness, priyam, friendship to everybody, and freedom from the ego, and at the same time, unnecessarily not accumulating things what is not necessary in life, acquiring things which are not necessary. So, and also freedom from anger, greed, lust, and things like that, malsariam, competition, and such things like that. This is common, apply to everybody. This applies to everyone. So, if you take care of all these symptoms, then you can say like this, that if he understands this, then one who understands these things, he understands the subtle side of dharma, dharma sushmam. Sushma dharmam, he understands, then that is the way it is to be accepted. That's the way it is to be accepted. So, instead of only if you look at the externalities of a person, if he follows that, that means he does not know what is dharma. He doesn't know what is dharma. That is how it has to be understood. So, just by seeing one's habits or one's ajaram alone, it will only become a simple joke if you accept somebody as an authority. Simply by seeing his externalities, and if you start making decisions based on that, it will become a joke. It won't mean anything. It won't mean anything. So, even if you follow all the instructions in the Karmagandam, puja, deity worship and all that things, even if you still do that, if Krishna says there, in the Bhagavatam particularly, if you look into the third canto, you will see, Kapila Maharshi uses some heavy comments on that. He says there that the 29. He says that such a person who is only concerned about, this is about the actual, about bhakti, Kapila Maharshi is talking about in the 29th chapter. He says there, aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastita sada tam avajnaya mam martya kurute archa vidambanam. There is a verse there in the Bhagavatam, it's a very important verse. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastita sada, I am present in everyone's, all living entities as the soul, avastita sada, and tam avajnaya mam martya, that person who ignores my presence in other living entities, and kurude archa vidambanam, and he is doing worship of me in the deity, he is a joke, he says, he is just wasting his time. In other words, his point is that, he says, aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudeshu bhudalma avastita sada, I am present in all living entities inside as the soul, and you are ignoring me there. And then he says, tam avajnaya, and it, you have got avajnaya. Avajnaya means a kind of, a sort of, you completely discard them or reject them. Tam avajnaya mam martya, such a person, kurude archa vidambanam, all his offering flowers and everything to me is vidambanam, is just a show, he says. It's just a show. This is Kapila Vasudeva's instructions to Devahuti Devi. What can you say? Krishna says the same thing. So, when the great personalities, when they talk about dharmam, They will never mention anything about your dress outside. That is there, but that according to time and place it can change. But they are more concerned about the sushmam side of it. Inside what is happening, that's more important. Inside is not changing. Externally everything is changing. And requires... That does not mean that we are not saying that dressing in a particular way. That is, as I mentioned before, as a respect to the sampradayam, you are doing that. That's all. But it can help in certain things also. It's a very sensitive issue because some people have different approach in dressing also in the way they present themselves. So, but if the qualities are there in that person, irrespective of what dress he has got, it should be overlooked. That's the point. That's what I was saying. Even among the atheists, you may find these qualities sometimes. From where they have come, due to some vasanas, it's come. And due to some prarabdham, they have to be like that also. In the atheistic mode. But that cannot be rejected because that quality is important. Krishna considers that as bhakti. That's what Krishna calls it as bhakti. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sukhakshami sandushta satatam yogi. He is always peaceful. Yadalma dhradanishchayaha may arpita manobuddhar yomi bhakta same priyaha. Krishna says such a person is very, very dear to me because he has this nature, qualities in him. So, having said that, Krishna says here that whatever worship he is doing for me, it is just only a show, he says. Kavita Vasudeva says this to Devahuti Devi. So, does that mean that all this deity worship, puja and everything must be stopped? That's not what it means. For example, some people will say like this, that they'll ask this question, what's the purpose of going to the temple? What's the use of going to the temple? Why should you worship the deity? They're all nonsense there in the temple anyway. They're all bogus. they're making money. They're all this, they're all that. People say like that, isn't it? And they will not go to the temple. No, that is also wrong. And they don't have any bhakti. They're only interested in other things like that. Criticism will come. So when somebody says like that, you have to understand that in their mind also, they have this ragadvesham very strongly working from inside. In other words, they are thinking they are perfect and those who are going to the temple are all imperfect. These thoughts have come there at that point. So there also the mistake has happened. So there is nothing there to reject in these things. And maitra karuna evacham, that is important. If one has understood this, then he has understood the purport of the Vedas. That is the point Krishna is saying. If one who has understood this, he has understood the purport of the Vedas. and one who has these qualities inside, he will be able to get to the truth easily. That's why it is said like that. Just like... In the yogurt you are churning and butter has to come out from that, isn't it? So to get that out, butter to come out from the yogurt while churning, these qualities are there. If they are churned from there, the truth will come out, what the reality is. So that's why while studying Shastram, why there is all these injunctions are there, because we are approaching Shastram from our intellectual level. We are trying to approach from the intellectual level. And take for example, Rigvedam begins with this one Rig, which is called Agnimule Purohidam. Agnimule Purohidam is the first Rig in the Rigvedam. It begins with that, and there are so many Rigs which are glorifying the different Devadas. You won't find the Vishnu, Shiva, Krishna, whom we worship today in this form in the Karmandam side of the Veda. There it is all Indra, Chandra, Varuna, all the other deities who are mentioned there. So when we have that, when our worship is in this particular fashion, when we have done that Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and the Upanishads and everything were all written to present it to us, the truth, in a particular way that it will get inside us. The truth will get inside us. and in order to understand all these things properly, our intelligence has to be pure. That is one of the requirements. If the intelligence is pure, you will catch the message properly. Otherwise, you won't get it. That is the problem with this. That all, for example, Bhagavad Gita is like that, Srimad Bhagavatam is like that. And I can give you many examples in this case how we completely miss the boat. You will read Bhagavad Gita, you will come to very, very wrong conclusions from the Bhagavad Gita. As you know, many, many people will say that they will read Bhagavad Gita and they will come to the conclusion that, oh, what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? They will say like this. Krishna says that you have to do your duty. They will say like that, isn't it? This word duty is not mentioned anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. There is no such thing called duty anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. And the whole day, the man is running around to make money and to satisfy his selfish desires in the name of duty. This is what his yoga, this understanding of Bhagavad Gita is. And he is using Krishna as the authority for that, to justify his actions, isn't it? So there, in such situations, you can see, he has also read Bhagavad Gita, but this is what he has understood from Bhagavad Gita. From Bhagavad Gita, this is what he has understood. That is why he says here, and he is also quoting Bhagavad Gita. He is also quoting Bhagavad Gita. So what is his duty? Morning to late in the night, how to make money, and for his own selfish reasons he is working, and he calls it as duty. He calls it as duty. This is very common. Everybody in India, a lot of people do this, particularly in India, it's quite common to use Bhagavad Gita in this way, in this way. And they use Krishna as an authority for that. Krishna as an authority for that. Very easily they interpret it like that. Because that's what they are saying in the Bhagavad Gita. That's what they are saying in the Bhagavad Gita. So, how much strength you have got in your intelligence, accordingly, you will understand the book. You will understand the book. Otherwise, you won't get anything better than that. There are so many examples in the Bhagavatam itself, how it has developed in this pattern. So many things from the Bhagavatam, so many things have come about from that in later course. Well, and it is very interesting to look at it, some of these things from the Srimad Bhagavatam, how it has affected the people. And according to their intelligence and capacity, they will accept things from the Shastram. That's all. You can't do anything about it. That's their level of intelligence. That's how much they understand from the Shastram. And they will interpret it because their intelligence tells them that. Why? Because intelligence is not pure enough. This is why they are not getting the message to their head. This is the important thing. You know these famous prayers in the prayers personified Vedas, prayers in the Bhagavatam. It is the 10th canto, 87th chapter. It's one of the most difficult part of Srimad Bhagavatam, this 87th chapter. And Sri Dhrajari Swamiji has his commentary on that, is very famous on this 87th chapter particularly, that he was able to explain that in the best way, and everybody appreciated that commentary. So if you look at that, you will see there that he says that the personified Vedas are praying to Krishna. Shutaya Uchuhu Jaya Jakya Jama Jida Dosha Gribhita Gunam Tomasiya Dalmana Samavarudha Samastha Bhagaha Agajagadokhasa Akhila Shakti Avabhotakate Kujida Jaya Atmana Chachara Donu Jare Nigamaha. This is the first verse in that prayer. Jaya jaya jikhyajam ajita dosha gribhita gunam. That one word, one line alone has been misunderstood. The first line itself. For example, in that first verse itself, he says here that it says Vedas are praying, glorifying Krishna and says to all glories to the Supreme Lord. All glories to the Supreme Lord. Ajam jahi. Ajam jahi. So he says here, that word ajam is used in the context that person who wins over Maya, that is Krishna's position, isn't it? Who has completely above Maya, able to keep control of the Maya. Whereas we are all under the control of Maya, Krishna keeps control of the Maya. Ajobisanna vayalma bodhanam isharobisan pragadim swam adhishtaya sambhavami alma maya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So that particular verse means that the ajam jahi, one who is able to remove the effect of Maya, and one whom, if you inquire about that, who has no birth. One who has no birth. Because as far as Krishna is concerned, from the Shastram point of view, Krishna has no birth. Always existing, isn't it? All time is existing. And one who is keep the Maya at a distance and remaining all the time in that state. That is Krishna's position. Maya away means neither Sattugunam, nor Rajogunam, nor Tamogunam there. Those three things don't touch him. And because these three things cover the soul. These three things cover the soul. So able to keep these three things away means always on the spiritual consciousness. Purely spirit, no matter at all. We feel always in the modes of nature. All the three modes are covering us. That means, therefore, we don't see the truth, the spirit. We always see the matter. So Krishna's position is, he keeps the matter away, or in other words, Maya, the three modes of nature away, and stays in that situation. So the prayer says that, please remove that from me, from us, and show us the truth. This is what the prayer says. So, ajam jahi. Say, for example, a person. So, one who has, when these verses are come, one who has not studied the philosophy properly. Suppose somebody has not studied philosophy. He does not know Vedantam. He doesn't know the science of the soul. He does not understand anything about the soul. But he knows Sanskrit. Say, if you get a person like that, what will he do with that verse? This is what has happened. What will he do? He will do this. He will read the verse and he will say, ajam jahi. He will take the dictionary and look at it. Ajam. Ajam means what? Goat. So, one who has, that means he will understand that he will say, yeah, you have to kill the goat. You have to kill the goat from this verse. That because he hasn't understood that there is a principle and there is a thought behind it. When it is explained like that. The words are same, but when you read through it, you will get a different understanding according to his intelligence. Because he hasn't heard anything about Vedantam, anything about the philosophical side of it, about the three modes of material nature, nothing, but he will take the meaning in the wrong way. So from that day onwards, among the learned circles, they say, from that day onwards, they started killing the goat as a sacrifice in all the sacrifices it has started. Ajam egam lohidam. And then it says that jaya jaha cha ajam egam lohida shukla krishnam bahvim prajam janayandisarupam. So there is a female goat, and that female goat, she has children. She delivers children. What are the three kinds of children? Then black and white and reddish color. Three kinds of children the goat is producing. And the goat is producing. And this ajay jehyo jushamano he juhahyam hivyanam bhukta bhogam ajo shunnaha. And there is a male goat also, and he is not doing anything. He is not doing anything. He has kept this female goat away, and the female goat is these three types of children it's delivering. Which one? The reddish one, the black one, and the white one. Basically what it means is that the three modes of material nature is the female goat, and it produces sattogunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. That's what it is to be understood from this. But instead, the person who hasn't understood any philosophy but who knows the Sanskrit language, he will read it and understand it, that there is a female goat which is delivering the baby goats with three different colors. So you can see in Shastram, things are spoken in this way. So it's always very difficult to understand what Shastram is pointing at. It is a big problem, you know, problem in the sense that Krishna says this in the Bhagavadam, Parokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anishasanam. Paroksham, everything is spoken in a indirect way. And he likes it. Krishna likes it. The reason is this. If everything is spoken openly, those who do not have that intelligence, purity in their intelligence, they will abuse it. They will abuse it. So, and those who want to realize the truth, who has the intelligence within them, at any cost, they will find it. That is Krishna's logic. Krishna is saying, those who are not pure enough inside, they will take the Shastram and abuse it. But those who are pure enough, whichever way you write the Shastram, they will find it from the Shastram. The truth, they know how to separate it out from the Shastram. This is how Shastrams are. In two occasions you will see, one while discussing that Puranjanobhakhyanam, Puranjana story, you will see that this mentioned. Why? Because Puranjana story is allegorical. But why it's allegorically spoken? Because when he heard, Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard that story, he says, I really didn't catch the message, he said. So Sri Narada Maharshi start the whole thing again and starts telling, this is what that story is all about. Isn't it? Puranjana story in the five chapters are there. In the fourth canto, Puranjanobhakhyana, Prajina Barhisandhi, story of the Puranjana, King Puranjana story. So similarly, many things in the Bhagavadam and in the Upanishads, in the Puranam also, are spoken in a particular way. Reason being that those who are ordinary people, who have not that purity inside, or spiritual intelligence inside, even if they come and they read it, they won't find any interest there. They will, or they'll say, oh, this is all just stories, and they'll go. They won't give you any trouble. But those who are serious about it, they will try to find out, they will have the faith enough that they know that there is something in that. That's why it's spoken in that way, and they will get to the truth at any cost. They will find it out. So that is what it is said like that. So they start thinking that this female goat, which is delivering these three babies in three different colors, we have to kill that goat. That's how these goat sacrifices begin. It says like that. So if you give instructions in this way, those who are listening to those instructions, and if their heads is also screwed up there, then what will happen? The result will all be very disaster to everyone. So what it is that, what it is when you hear the Shastram, it gets filtered inside. It goes through our Ajnanam before it gets into the heart. When it gets into the heart, it changes the heart, isn't it? But when it goes through, it gets filtered through our ignorance. There's a filter there, and there's different elements in that, filter elements there, and it goes through that. So that Ajnanam will influence this knowledge what's going in, and it will change the whole meaning of the Shastram, meaning of the whole Shastram. That's why so many people hear the Shastram, everybody will interpret according to their own understanding. On the same thing, two people will hear and they'll come back with two different. They'll say, no, this is what he has said. Somebody else will say, no, this is what he has said. They'll say, it'll happen like this. So the deeper the ignorance inside, and deeper the ignorance inside, the deeper there will be the faulty will be the result that will come from that. So then what happens? Whatever they think is right, what they understood, they'll think this is right and they'll follow that. And that is what Krishna was saying here, Chitravaja Sravandihi. Remember that verse? In the last time we talked about that. Yabhir Bhudani, seventh verse. Yabhir Bhudani di Vidhyande Bhudanam Mathayastadaha Yadha Prakriti Sarvesham Chitravaja Sravandihi Yadha Prakriti Sarvesham Chitravaja Sravandihi. Krishna is saying that throughout this Prakriti, in the material nature, Chitravaja Sravandihi, that is the way it is. That he says that the Yadha Prakriti Sarvesham, whole material nature is like that. What we see in this world, that people make decisions in different levels of intelligence, isn't it? Some people will see a book, and if it's printed very nicely, in the best printing press, best paper, and it's given a got a value to it, they will say, this must be something very good they are mentioning. It will be all garbage inside the book, isn't it? But they will accept it, it's printed, the best printing press has printed that. That's the level of intelligence they are at. And similarly, so that's what it says, Yada Prakriti Sarvesham Chitravaja Sravandihi, that people will interpret and speak in different ways, and those who are listening, according to the way it has been spoken, they will take it without thinking about it. Why is it like that? Why these differences are coming from the Shastram? That is what Krishna is trying to explain to Uddhava. Uddhava, these differences of positions or difference of opinion has happened for a long period of time. I take that responsibility, he says. Because when I spoke originally, it was all pure. But over a period of time, people started accepting it and changing it according to their own understanding, the way according to based on their intelligence. That's what Krishna says here. So this has happened throughout history. It's not a new thing. It's not happened today only. It has happened all the time. When all the acharyas appeared, they will present the truth to us in a particular way. As soon as he leaves, it will all change. That's why in English there is a statement about that. The other day I was reading, really interested. First, there will be a realized soul. Realized soul will be there. And it will be followed by direct disciples will come. After that, there will be devotees will come. And then there will be followers, the next step. This is the parampara I'm talking about, modern days particularly. Followers. Then there will be fanatics. And after that, office bearers. And then there will be bureaucrats. And there will be salaried staff at the end. How do you like that? That parampara. This is the current spiritual parampara all over the world. This is how it works. The realized soul started something. And over a period of time, it gets change. And at the end, it will end up like this. That process, what this is, I don't know where, I saw this and I thought it was very interesting. This is a parampara in the spiritual life nowadays. That sometimes you will address yourself as, oh, I'm a direct disciple. And then you will say you're a follower, then you're a devotee, and fanatic, and then office bearer, and then a bureaucrat, and then the salary people person. Reach the perfection of the spiritual life then, after that. So, this kind of thing happens in spiritual life. You can't help it. It will always happen. It's not a new thing. It has happened. I'll give you many examples for that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? Which was very dear to his heart. Srimad Bhagavatam was so dear to heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, study Srimad Bhagavatam. And from there, get the inspiration to chant the holy name. This was the goal. So over a period of time, what happened was, according to our level of intelligence, we started saying, Bhagavatam is not so important, chanting the holy name is important. It's become like that. How the trend, the shift happens in the people's intelligence level, according to the intellectual level. Because Bhagavatam is difficult sometimes to understand. And from Bhagavatam to get that strength to chant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he discussed with Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and all the other great devotees, he was not discussing about chanting the holy name. He was discussing Srimad Bhagavatam with them. Isn't it? And holy name is a product from that. It came from Bhagavatam, that product has come as holy name. And he encouraged the holy name and to chant all the time. But at the same time, when he was in close association with the great personalities like the Goswamis and others, he discussed Srimad Bhagavatam with them. Isn't it? So from there you can see that he spoke about Srimad Bhagavatam. And from Bhagavatam, he gave the understanding that you should come to the platform of chanting the holy name. In other words, you should be able to chant the holy name. You should get that motivation or inspiration from Srimad Bhagavatam to chant the holy name. That is how it should be. And if you get that, that's why all these books were written, commentaries were written, and discussions have happened over this. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, you should get that inspiration to chant the holy name. That is how it should happen. And then, if you chant in that way, that chanting will be good. But over a period of time, what happened? Oh, I only take the essence. I don't need Bhagavatam and all. I just take the essence. Just like the what do they say? We'll boil the milk and make the cream out of it. The cream is just to chant the holy name. And then what happened? Chanting has become the spiritual activity. Plus, according to intelligence, it became more musical, it became a concert, and it became a show, and it became going in a completely different direction. See how quickly you get shifted. From the truth, what the Acharya has spoken, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoken, from that position, little by little by little, it gets changed over a period of time. And then you'll say, oh, what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? You only told us just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. That's all. To say this, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has to come here to tell you that chant Hare Krishna and be happy. This is not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's only message. There is more to it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came here to teach us the science of Krishna. That is more important, isn't it? that through Srimad Bhagavatam, he is opening up certain the science of the soul, science of Krishna, and to give us an opportunity to go into the knowledge of the Vedas. That's what he is taking us through Bhagavatam to that. But over a period of time, we started saying, why, what Bhagavatam? That's for others to read. I'm just chanting Hare Krishna, and I'll be only just do kirtan, and I'm happy that's it for me. So this is the way it gets changed. This is how things get changed. It'll go like that. And after 30, 40 years, if you come and see, it'll be completely different scenario you'll see in this world. The way how things can change. Already people are saying that things have changed. But things will change because according to the that is the nature of this world. You can't do anything about it. That people will come and they will hear something and they will conclude. According to their own level of intelligence, they will understand things and make conclusions in that way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message was that he took Srimad Bhagavatam to his heart. And he taught the same thing to all the important personalities who had been with him, like Rupa, Sanatana, told them to study Bhagavatam and write the books based on Srimad Bhagavatam, the science of bhakti, the science of the soul, science of Krishna consciousness for everyone to benefit. So he gave the understanding to them through his instructions. They got inspired and they wrote all the books. And other time, because of that realization inside and attachment to Krishna, they chanted the holy name. Always. They chanted the holy name. So, holy name chanting, this is why in the Bhagavad Gita also you will notice there, all our sadhana, if it is not dependent on Krishna, and if it is done independently, that's actually not even a sadhana. Because there it is your false ego is doing the sadhana. That's why Krishna says, Jaramarana Mokshaye Mamashrittaya Tandiye Te Brahma Tadvidu Krishnam Adhyalpam Karma Chagilam. In the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this verse. That in order to free yourself from the cycle of birth and death, Krishna says, those who are advanced in spiritual life, what will they do? Mamashrittaya Tandiye. They will depend on me. That is more important. And then they will put their effort. Dependence on Krishna is more important than your effort. You see, that if you're not dependent on Krishna and you are independently doing your sadhana, thinking that based on my effort, results will come, it will never come. In spiritual life, it is like that. Your effort is not what brings the result. It is your dependence or surrender to Krishna that brings the result. This is an important point. Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashrite tandiye tad brahma tad vidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chakhilam. Krishna says like that there. So, this is as well as the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's situation is concerned. Now, you look into other Acharya's case, the same thing. Take, for example, Ramanujacharya's case. Ramanujacharya's Vaishnava tradition, which has come to Vishishtadvaitam as it is known. In Ramanujacharya is well known for Sharanagati. That is Ramanujacharya's greatest gift to this world. Surrendering to Krishna 100%. And that is known Sharanagati process. It is very much appreciated and respected in that tradition. Sharanagati. How to offer everything to Krishna and surrender unto him. No selfish interest afterwards. That's why if you look at many of the activities of Ramanujacharya's disciples, you will see they were so surrendered souls. Their devotion to their guru, you don't see that anywhere else in this world. The devotion they had for their guru and their surrender to the guru. That surrender you won't find elsewhere, anywhere else. In no other tradition you see that surrender. Such deep-rooted surrender to the guru and acceptance in that way. Sharanagati. Complete surrender to the guru and to Krishna. So that was taught like that by Ramanujacharya and many, many personalities, Vedanta Deshikar and others. So many great personalities appeared in that tradition. Long after many, many years after his departure, it split into two groups, Vatakalai and Thankalai, and they brought their own understanding. And then later on what happened? Sharanagati has simply become a ritual. Sharanagati has become a ritual. They have a ritual to perform, sit together, and then somebody, kind of an initiation, where they put the names all over the body. And he's initiated into that. And the Sharanagati is finished. So it has happened like that. What can you say about it? That's the way it works. That the spirit has gone, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that yogam has gone, the shastram is still there. Isn't it? Yogam has gone. The Shastram is still there. The same. Yogo Nashta Parandava. So similarly, just like the knowledge Krishna spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, as time passed on, the Shastram still remained in this world, but Yogam has gone. Similarly, when the Acharyas come and they teach this message also, when they are present in this world and when they teach the message, it is understood at that particular time. But after their departure, it gets changed or it gets lost in that process. This is about Ramanuja tradition. If you look into Shankaracharya's tradition, there it is more interesting. Acharya Swamiji, while traveling in one of his pilgrimages, he goes into a family who were very, very poor. They had nothing to eat. They were so poor. Out of his causeless mercy to that family, they had only one amalaga fruit. I don't know what you call that in English. It's a fruit. Amalaga fruit, they call it. And it was a Ekadashi day. So this brahmachari walks in, and the mother in the house had only this one fruit to eat. She brings that and gives that as a bhiksha to this brahmachari. So Acharya Swamiji, seeing the situation, stood there and recited these famous verses known as Kanakadhara Stotram. Kanakadhara Stotram means he sang this song and immediately from the sky gold coins started coming down. It was glorifying Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi started pouring gold coins in front of this lady who offered this. Now, this happened in his time and he left this world. After some time, what they started doing was singing this song. They'll buy the gold coins from the state bank or from the reserve bank and make coins and started offering to people. So the spirit was something different in which it was sung, and they started a sacrifice in this name, Kanakadhara Astavam, they call it. It's a famous song. That Kanakadhara means gold coins being released from the sky, a torrent of gold coins coming from the top. So they started this and it became a permanent practice. To many, many months they started doing this. So what we have to understand is that a principle on which it was spoken, that will be forgotten over a period of time and others will use it in a different way. And later on they started saying, because Shankaracharya was doing this, we are doing that. In the same way. Because Shankaracharya has done this, so we are performing the same thing. Kanakadhara, so sacrifice we are performing, and they started doing this. So in every tradition, this will happen. You cannot stop it. It is bound to happen. And so that is up to the, that is why a person who is coming to spiritual life, he also has a lot of responsibility. It's not that everything will be offered to him on a plate nicely. Now here you take it. That plate sometimes may not be very always pure in that sense. And so I'm saying that intelligence, development of that intelligence is important for all of us to have it, to know what is the right thing in spiritual life to do, how to accept things in the spiritual life. So this is the important point. So, so that is why Krishna says, now in the Vedam or in the all Vedic literature, the goal is spoken only one thing. What is that? Self-realization. That is a goal. That's well accepted by all the authorities. And Srimad Bhagavatam also reminding us the same thing. Isn't it? That self-realization is the important thing. How to get yourself freed from this identity of the body and come to the platform of the soul. So that's why it says here. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, Kalena Nashta Palayam. If you look at that verse in the Shri Bhagavan Vaja, third verse here, Kalena Nashta Pralaya Vaniyam Veda Samhidaha Mayado Brahmane Prokta Dharmo Yasyam Madal Magaham. Krishna says Kalena Nashta Pralaya, due to co-influence of time, Vaniyam Veda Samhida, the Veda Samhida, Vedic conclusions have all changed, he says. Has all changed. And the same thing Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita also, isn't it? Krishna says the same thing. What did he say in the fourth chapter? Krishna says there that he says, I have instructed Vaivaswan. Vaivaswan instructed to Manu, Manu Ikshvakuve Bravid. He says, Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. After a while, what has happened? Brahmena hi abhyasthyamana vidya kshayam gacchati. After a while, what happened, according to the people who handled it, according to their ragadvesham, attachment and aversion inside, ragadvesha abhakrata buddhihi, and because ragadvesham has got into their buddhi, in their intelligence, then for such people, they cannot understand this vidya, this knowledge of the soul. This knowledge of the soul cannot be understood. See, chemistry, physics, all these subjects, you can teach them in the school, isn't it? You can teach them in the school. And you can teach them, and you can create a lot of lecturers, professors, and all that from that. But everyone who has studied the science does not become an Einstein or Edison or somebody like that. Only one or two people become like that, isn't it? Remaining all others, they just learn it for teaching somebody else again after that. Nothing else will happen in their life. So even in those subjects, it is like that, isn't it? Even in the subjects like chemistry, physics, science subjects and all that, many people learn that, but then as soon as they finish, they look for a job and they find a suitable qualifications according to the job they require, and they will settle down there. There's nothing much they have to, and they'll teach the same what they have learned to others in due course of time. But out of millions of like that, there's only one or two people who will take very serious interest in that subject and come out from that with some perfect results, like for example Einstein or Edison or Newton or somebody like that. Some few people may come out like that, isn't it? So even in material subjects it is like that. What to talk about the Shastram. And the same thing, and science doesn't create one or two genius people will come out like that, Edison or Einstein. But majority others will just learn, that's all. So similarly, music also, if you take music, you can teach music. There are so many institutions who are teaching music. They learn music. But how many great musicians come out from that? There are very few. Very, very few, isn't it? I'm not talking about this pop music. I'm talking about the classical music. Classical music. Pop music is a different, it is on a completely different level. It's just not to be discussed even. So that we won't touch that. But I'm talking about music in terms of the Vedic philosophy. There is a music associated with Shastram. That music is that is that something meant for glorifying the absolute truth, Krishna. That's all it's meant for, that music. Otherwise, music is not considered to be music at all. And it is their mercy of that music, what they have composed, great musicians who are great devotees, it is their mercy that we are now chewing it later on in our own way. So, so like this, it goes on like this. At some point, from the original point from where it was flowing, it will go away completely. It will completely go away. And it's called as Moola Srotasa. Moola Srotasa means where it is originated from. From there, when it starts flowing, during the process of its flow, it will all get changed. And even the essence will change, the truth will change. Ultimately, what will remain is only the sound. The sound will be there. The sound will remain, but nothing else will happen. That's why Krishna says there, if you look at the fourth verse, what does Krishna say? Tena proktaja putraya manave purvajaya sa tado brighvadayo grihnan sapta brahma maharshayaham. Krishna says here, these are something very interesting things here. If you look back into the creation, how things have happened, and when you are in avidya, in ignorance, what is required? These are things that comes out from there. It says here, Tena proktaja utraya manave purvajayasa. So, Brahma spoke to his son Narada Maharshi and to Vasishta, Prajapati, the four Kumaras, Sanaka Sananda, Sanadana and Sanat Kumara. To all these personalities, Brahma spoke the Vedic. Vedas were given to them. In other words, that they are all Brahma, they are all direct disciples of Brahma. they are all direct disciples of Brahma. So when Brahma spoke to them, look at these people. Vasishtha was there. Four Kumaras were there. Srinarada Maharshi was there. Then all the Prajapatis there, Kashyapa Prajapati and many other Prajapatis, they are also present there. All of them understood in different way. There itself started the changes. So Vasishtha took the process of Jnana Margam. Vasishtha was perfect Jnani. Vasishtha Maharshi, you know, Ramchandra's spiritual master. He was a perfect Jnani. So a perfect Jnani, if you instruct him, and after instructing Vedas to all these personalities, Brahma told them, now you go to the planet Earth and instruct the people who are there in the science of the Veda. So they came here. When they came, Vasishtha could not do anything. You know why? Because he was so self-realized that already this knowledge was 100% in him, self-realization. And he could not see any problem in this world when he came here. He looked at, because you see, we are suffering from what? From lot of miseries we go through in this life, isn't it? Due to what? Due to avidya, ignorance in us. Ignorance only. It's not due, we say, oh, he is the cause of my problem, he is the cause of my problem. It's my avidya that is the problem, my own ignorance. So, but Vasishtha is fully realized soul. He couldn't see any problem here. And because he could not understand our problem, he goes back to Brahma and says, everything is perfect there, he says. So Brahma understood the problem. Problem was he was realized. So therefore he could not relate with the people here. He didn't see that anybody had any problem in this world. Because from through his eyes he is seeing that he is not even seeing avidya. He is saying that person is going through. But that is only avidya. That will go and he will be alright. Why should I do anything about it? That was his position. So he goes back and prays to Brahma that I have gone there, but there is nothing to be done, everything is perfect. And he stays in his perfect platform. Then Brahma understood the problem. So in order to make Vasishtha to come back and do something here, Brahma had to put Vasishtha through a state of few lifetimes. In a few seconds, Brahma put Vasishtha to go through hundreds of lifetimes. In a few seconds he did this. You see, they can play with time and space. We think time is all according to based on our latest watch, whatever that is, isn't it? For Brahma, this doesn't apply. Time, the experience what Vasishtha Maharshi felt in a few seconds, you can take it a few seconds, a few minutes, he experienced as though he has gone through so many lifetimes. Birth, death, old age, disease, birth, death, old age, disease, birth, death, old age, disease. Only after experiencing it, Vasishtha Maharshi understood there is a problem. Before that, he didn't know anything about it. So, after that, he says to Brahma, is put Vasishtha in such a situation. Vasishtha comes to Brahma and tells him, now you instruct me in spiritual life. He puts Vasishtha into that state. And then Vasishtha approaches Brahma, asks for instruction. Brahma instructs Vasishtha and gets him out of the problem. This is how it happened. And then Vasishtha comes here realizing that yes, yes, there is a thing called miseries in material life. Then he starts famous Yoga Vasishtham and all has come in that way. Vasishtha Maharshi's famous instructions and discussions with Ramachandra also. It's all after that. These things have happened. Vasishtha Maharshi was their spiritual master for many kings in the solar dynasty. Isn't it? The Sharada, also same. Raghu, Dilip, and all of them, Vasishtha Maharshi was their teacher. Was their teacher. So Vasishtha had to learn in that way. There's nothing we can do about it. That's why he says here, Kalena Nashta Pralaya Praniyam Veda Samhidaha. So, if you become a jnani, a realized soul, at a very early age in life, then you won't know what misery is. Isn't it? If you realize the truth. So avidya, and once he is free from avidya, he won't know the other side of life. He won't know the other side of life. So so what Brahma did was, after putting through all this experience, then he says to Vasishtha, now you ask me, then I will instruct you, he says. So what is the way to get out of this? So Vasishtha asks him and Brahma speaks to him in that way. So all great acharyas, they are like that. All acharyas are like that. they have the particularly if you look at Sukadeva Goswami and all that, they can identify with everybody. They can identify because they need that element inside to have that mercy inside to show mercy to others. You have to have that inside to show the mercy to others. So in his case also, that's why in the Bhagavatam it's Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimana Tosmi Sarvabhuta Hridayam, that who knows the heart of everyone. That is Sukadeva Goswami. So whoever is there in this world, what is their distress and in what state they are, and knowing their state and able to lift them up from that state, giving them the necessary realization and and saying this, they trained Vasishtha in that way, and from Vasishtha one parambara has come in that way. So like this in parambara system it has stayed. And Bhrigu Maharshi, you know Bhrigu, who he is, there is a system how Bhrigu was taught the knowledge of the soul. Bhrigu was taught in a different way. Bhrigu goes to Varuna. This is in the Taittiriya Upanishad. It says there, Bhrigu goes to Varuna. Varuna is his father. And goes to him and tells him, please instruct me on the knowledge of the soul. Bhrigurha Varunihi Varunam Vidaram Upasasara Adhidi Adihi Brahmo Bhavedi. Bhrigu is called Varunihi. Varunihi means he is Varuna's son. And he says, goes to Brahma, to Varuna and says to him, Varuna, please instruct me and tell me what is Brahma means. So, he is not being instructed at that time because Varuna knows very well, if he instructs Varuna, Bhrigu, he won't understand. So, what did he say to him? He has to take him step by step to start with. How does that step-by-step process start? It starts like this. Tapasa tells him, Bhrigu, Tapasa Brahma Vijitnyasaswa. Perform penances and find out what is Brahma. That's all he told him. He told Varuna, Varuna said to Bhrigu, to tell Bhrigu, you go and find out, perform penances and find out what is the truth. Never gave any instructions more than that. Bhrigu goes to the forest and perform a lot of penances and he comes to the conclusions what he says here. Annam Brahmedi Vyajanad. Is this in the Taittiriya Upanishad, that step by step how it happens. He comes back and says to Varuna, I have understood that Annam is Brahmam. That means the food is Brahmam. He says to him. So, everything he started relating in this world in relationship with the food. Annam. Annamaya Kosham we say, isn't it? Annamaya Kosham is based on that. So, he started saying that everything is based on the food. He says, food, therefore food is Brahmam. All living entities is Brahmam based on the food. So, he goes and says this to Varuna. So, Varuna says, how did you come to that conclusion? So, Bhrigu says to him, all I see in this world is one living entity is food for another living entity. Isn't it? Ahastani sahastanam apadani chadushpadam phalguni mahadam tatra jivo jivasya jivanam. In this world if you look, one living entity is food for another living entity. That is the way it is created. Just like you can see a lizard in the wall will be somewhere in the corner waiting for a fly to come through. As soon as he finds the fly, it eats a fly. And you can't say to the lizard, lizard you are very sinful. Because that is his food, it's kept for him like that. When the cat sees the mouse, you can't tell the cat. Once it so happened, there was a cat. And this cat goes to an ashram and met a sannyasi there. Met a sannyasi in the ashram. So cat says to sannyasi, please instruct me on spiritual life. I just want to know. Because I'm a very bad person. And I'm eating this different mouses. I'm killing all the time different mouse. And it's not a good thing. So sannyasi said to him, yes, the first thing is, Mr. Cat, if you want to advance spiritually, you have to become a vegetarian, he says to the cat. Cat said, tomorrow onwards, don't stay in your house, wherever you are, come and stay with me, he says. Sannyasi said to the cat, stay with me. And I will prepare nice dal, sabji, rice and everything and give it to you every day. You don't worry about the food. You stay with me and practice this And I'll give you some spiritual instructions also what you should do. The cat agreed everything. So cat agreed, came there to the ashram and stayed with the sannyasi. So first one or two days, cat was struggling with his spiritual life. Like we all do, isn't it? So he gave milk to the cat, he gave everything to the cat. He took milk, he was happy to have. Cats love the milk. So, and then other things also, what the sannyasi has cooked, he happily offered prasadam. He told him, you eat the prasadam, you will be happy, everything. And then he handed over a beads bag and a bead also to the cat. Cat took all that. Then he was doing japa walk with the beads in the hand. So while doing japam, he was walking around. Suddenly he saw a hole. He thought he will stay outside. And he was chanting. Suddenly, by now, some of the mice have got to know him. And they heard that he has become a vegetarian. And now he doesn't do anything wrong in his life. He is very perfect, following all four regulative principles and everything. Precisely, he is living his life. They thought like that. And they said to him, they started going very close. They are walking through him without any fear. And he used to sit there and chant and keep his eyes closed. So one day, suddenly, the sannyasi thought, what's happening to my friend? Where has he gone? He came walking and he saw him. He was chanting. But from his mouth, some noises coming from inside. So he stopped the cat and asked him, what are you eating? He says, I don't know. I was just sitting here and chanting. Suddenly somebody went through in the front. I just caught it and put it in the mouth, I said. And that was the mice. So you can't change these things. That is his vasana inside. You, no matter how hard you try, he will do it. He's not going to escape from that. This is the way it is. That's the way the creation is like that. That's his food. And you are trying to go against that, isn't it? By saying that, telling him to become a vegetarian and become free from all this, follow the principles and all, that's not meant for him. You're trying to put it on him and telling him to do it, but it won't work. So similarly, in the creation, it is like that. So many rules, we have to accept it as it is. When they show in the television sometimes, how the lion catches its prey, isn't it? Lot of zebras or deers will be running in the forest in Africa. One or two lions will run after them and suddenly they pounce upon one of them and catches them and kill them on the spot itself. On the spot they kill them. Now when you watch it, you feel sorry about that. But that's their food. Krishna has kept their food for them in that way. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam it says, Ahastani Sahastanam. One who has no hands, they are the food for those who have got hands. Abadani Chadushpadam. One who has got two legs, the four-legged animals are the food for them. Phalguni Mahadam Tatra. That Jivo Jivasya Jivanam. One living entity is food for another living entity. That is how it has been created. So from this, coming back to Bhrigu. Bhrigu understood that this is the principle. So food is Brahmam. This for food, everyone is striving in this world. Isn't it? Food is important. So food is Brahmam, he says. And he goes back to Varuna and tells him that. So when he said all these things to him, Bhrigu says to him, Varuna says to him, at least you have found out that much, isn't it? About the truth. That is good. That matter. So this is the Bhrigu asked Bhrigu, now you have found out at least that much, isn't it? So similarly you can see that people realizations are at different levels. Yeah. So as I mentioned yesterday also, that you take some scientists to the banks of Ganga River. They will look at Ganga River and they will say, make their conclusions about Ganga water. Isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shankaracharya, they go to Ganga River and they are glorifying Ganga, Mother Ganga, like anything. They bathe in Ganga River. And they are not seeing Ganga River as the water there. Rather, they are seeing Mother Ganga there in that river. The scientists will go there. They will pick up a few drops and they say, this is hydrogen, two parts and one part oxygen. They will say like that. They will come to that conclusion. So the same Ganga River is flowing. Two people are coming and getting to understanding from that. One sees this as hydrogen and oxygen, and another one will see it as Mother Ganga coming from the Kausal ocean, washing Krishna's lotus feet. That is how the famous Gangashtakam begins like that. Ganga river is glorified in that way, coming from Krishna's lotus feet. So, there, the depth of knowledge is seen not objectively, but subjectively. That's how they are seeing the knowledge, isn't it? So, the important thing is, knowledge is not the important. What is its impact on you, that is important. That is why I am this example is. That the effect on Shankaracharya or on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of Ganga river is different than the effect on a scientist. Isn't it? So the effect on the scientist is this. He found out that it is also hydrogen and oxygen like anywhere else. In the well also there is water. In the Aldenham lake also there is water. And there is water in the Ganga river also. He compared all the water and he said this is also two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen. Aldenham water also is same thing, and the water in the comes from the water supply board. That's also two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. So science concluded that they are all same, equally good. But Shankaracharya or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are saying to us that Ganga river is just not water, what you see there. There is something more to it than that. It is coming from Krishna. Krishna's lotus feet. When Brahma opened, at the time when Vamanamurti lifted his feet, it went and broke open the coverage of the universe through which shell, the water came down through the prayers of Bhagiratha, and Lord Shiva accepted on his head, and from there Ganga river. That's all the way they can see Ganga. They can't see it as hydrogen and oxygen. They didn't even know about hydrogen and oxygen. What to talk about? So why these differences come? These differences come, why? Because of the way they have accepted it. They have accepted it. So, here, it says here, that the they are seeing in this Brahman and Krishna's presence in that. So, one who is studying chemistry, for it is, what do they call, elements, isn't it? For elements it is. So, for one who is studying for chemistry, it will remain as chemistry. And he will stay like that. And one who is studying physics, it will remain as physics in that way. So, similarly, what is important here is, one who is practicing Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the self, he will become that. That is the difference. You see? Whereas, if you study like the way the chemistry and physics, through chemistry and physics, when you study Ganga, you come to one conclusion. And through the spiritual way, like Acharyas have studied Ganga, you come to another conclusion, isn't it? So the effect on you, that that till that realization happens in you, that knowledge is not complete. This is the Vedic understanding. Till it has its effect on you, the knowledge is not complete. That is why that this is not a subject for intellectual grasp or intellectual understanding, the science of the soul. It is not for intellect. So Bhrigu was not happy, and Bhrigu was not satisfied. He goes back to him, and Varuna didn't say anything. He says, Tabasa Brahma Vijitnyasaswa, and go again perform penances, he says to Bhrigu. You have not come to the conclusion yet. Till you reach the state of Brahman, it has to continue. So, he step by step, he is telling him. When he came back saying that Annam, the food is Brahman, he says, no, you go back and perform penances again. So, he goes back to the forest and perform penances and comes back and he says there, Prano Brahmedi Vajanad. He understood that there is a thing called Pranan. And what is that? All the matter gets dissolved in the energy, Urjam. In that, so science has reached that stage. There's a thing called energy now, isn't it? Whether it is energy or it matter, but everything is very much in an objective level. The understanding is that means that I'm not simply this body. There is something more subtle to it than this body, than this gross body. This understanding has come. So urjam, or what is known as the vitality in a person. So, only if the vitality is there, you can live active and energetic in life, isn't it? So, the scientists also started recognizing the presence of this vitality in a person, that there is something more to matter in a person that keeps that energy flowing from him to perform various activities in this world. So they have started coming to that realization. So in other words, this same vitality is referred to in Vedic literature as pranan. Pranan is that. That vitality is called as pranan. So he came back with this understanding that prano brahmedi vijanad. Pranan is Brahman. He started saying like this to, Bhrigu started saying this to Varuna. Varuna says to, listens to him, and he says there he was not satisfied because energy is also coming from Prakriti, material nature. That will also come and it will go. That is the nature. It will come and it will go. Just like when the body was created, the material body itself is a product of material nature, isn't it? Material nature is a product of the material nature. And material nature has given us a form like this, body, mind, intelligence, ego, and several other things combined together, and to that injected this energy to come out from that, and it functions in that way. So it says here, that also will come home. So he told him to go back and find out the truth again. He says, tapasa, perform tapas again. He comes back and says, mano brahmedi vijanad. Little bit more subtle level. He started. So from annamayam, pranamayam, now he comes to manomayam. He comes back and says, mano brahmedi vijanad. That manas, mind is the brahmam. He started. Step by step, he is progressing towards the truth. Bhrigu is progressing. He says, mano brahmedi vijanad. So, this is the reason. He says, mind is Brahman. He says, this is something more, and that is the mind. So, psychiatrist also says sometimes, like that. They say like that, that just a psychiatrist says, everything is centered around your mind, they say. Isn't it? Even if you have some problem and go to them, they will say to you, that the problem is with your mind. And there you require the treatment. So many times, so many things happen to people in life, isn't it? So sometimes we get disturbed inside in some way. And then naturally if everything else fails, you go to the psychiatrist and they will say, yes, there is, mind is the one which is causing the problem for you. And that has to be attended to. So get the mind sorted out. And they'll keep talking about the mind a lot. So they are in the platform of the mind. And that mind also, the very nature of that is, it comes and goes, isn't it? For example, as long as we go into the deep sleep state, there is no mind. In the morning it comes up again. And then whole day it stays with you. In the dream state it gives you a lot of good or bad dreams. And then it goes. So this is also coming and going. Food is coming and going, pranan is coming and going, mind also coming and going. This coming going is the very nature of that. So, not only that, it always has got this fickle nature of the mind. And you cannot correct it also in that way. So, sometimes it is like this. We are not sure, does he exist, the thing called mind? Where is he in the body? This question will come. Some people say it's here, some people say it's here. So it's all confusion all over, isn't it? About this. And some people say, no, there is no such thing called mind. It's just that I do what I like. And that's also another interpretation of that. So, so even if you correct it, you cannot get a control over it because of the very nature of that thing called mind. It is like that. So once it so happened, that a father and son were going in a boat. They were crossing the river. So he had a very expensive ring on his hand, one of the fingers. The father had an expensive ring. They were very funny people, both the father and the husband. Funny in the sense that they will discuss all kinds of philosophy, but the same won't come to any conclusions. That kind of people. So they were traveling, and by chance, by accident, the ring fell off from the finger and fell into the river. He didn't say anything, but he marked in the boat where the ring fell. He marked inside the boat, this is where the ring has fallen. So they crossed the river, got to the other side of the river, and then father says to the son, I lost my ring. Find it out where it is. He says, where is, where did you lose it? It lost there. So how do you know where it lost? I said, I marked it on the boat, he says. So find it out where it is. So like this, these things can happen. But why did you not tell me at that time, he says. So similarly, in the material nature, you try to correct one, something else will go wrong. Always, it is like that. That's why, that is what keeps our material life going, this struggle. Otherwise, what is there? Ultimately, a few chapatis and sabji, all what we need in life. But it becomes a whole lifelong struggle for us. And you start wondering why this such a big struggle has to go on in this world, to live in this. And Krishna has given plenty of food in this world also, but it still doesn't get to us. It get to the people, and often starvation or some problem, something or the other happens and people don't get it in some way or the other. Therefore, anything you try to correct in the material nature, it will not remain. It will always get distorted and changed. It cannot. Therefore, Buddhists calls it in another name. They call it as Kshaniga Vijnanam. Kshaniga Vijnanam means that knowledge which is available to you for that particular period of time. It only lasts that much. That's all it is useful for that time. Kshaniga Vijnanam it is called. So why every kshanam or every moment it is changing? It is changing. Material nature. So similarly the mind is like that. Mind is also like that. So then he says behind the mind there is something else. What is that? The intelligence. The intelligence is there. Whatever we have decided, accordingly we see things. What that intelligence has decided, on that basis, all your activities are centered around that. Remember that. That's why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? That you have to get that decision made there, at that spot. Then things will happen. Otherwise, it will never happen. That's why Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi, Krishna calls it. Because that is where decision is happening. Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi, Egeha Kurunandana. Bahushaka Anandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. So Vyasalmiya Buddhi means a firm and determined approach in life to realize the truth. That is Vyasalmiya Buddhi. So if the decision is made in the Buddhi, then it will happen. But in the Buddhi, the decision is not made. That is why it's always changing. Sometimes material life, sometimes spiritual life, sometimes one Krishna consciousness, sometimes wants to wait. There's no rush. Why? The decision is not made yet inside. So that's why Krishna says there itself, Bahushakha Anandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. That one who has intelligence is many branched, diverse, isn't it? That's words in the Bhagavad Gita. Bahushakha. Bahushakha means it's all over the world. Anandascha. Such a buddhi is the nature of avyavasayinam, one who has not fixed up in the truth. So, from mind you move to the intellectual platform, and there you can see that if there you are not decided, you are not going to happen. It's not going to happen in life. How alert and firm you have to be in spiritual life, not to fall away from the truth. This is what it is pointing at. Because generally, very easily we fall into the influence of other things in this world. Forget about sense gratification. Even to forget about the truth and come down to the platform of the food, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam. All these things can happen very, very easily. Very, very easily. And that's why it is said like that. Because it is based on that decision you have made on your intelligence, the mind is functioning, and it's based on the mind you have got this material body. You see, it's a product of that, that on a very subtle level, some decision has been made by you at some point in your journey, in spiritual journey. So every time you make that decision, immediately a mind is formed, and along with that, the gross body is given, and we have come here in this world in that way. When that decision changes in that intelligence, and it becomes completely oriented in spiritual life, one after the other, you can close down all the other routes. Like the body will go, mind will go, and you'll get fixed in that platform of the intelligence where the decision is firm. So that's why they said, from buddhi,
buddhi, other things have come because they are the cause behind it. Somewhere we have made some decision that I want to enjoy these vasanas in me in a particular way. Along with that, the mind was formed, grouped according to that desire. And along with that, the body was centered around that, the body was created. And then all the other prarabdha karma has decided that go to this place under these parents, take this body and enjoy this time and suffer so much and give so much suffering to others and then come back. This is how we have come here. So this is the Shastram is telling us that why subtle sides are important. It's not the gross side. What we are busy with the gross part of it all the time. We are analyzing these things. That's why it is said like that. So he says here that vijnanam. So vijnanam is good, but vijnanam yajnatanute. So vijnanatalam, that intellectual level, annamayam, pranamayam, manomayam, vijnanamayam. Vijnanamayam is at intelligence level. In Vijnanamayam, if the decision happens properly, then you will go up in the right direction. And that will lead into Anandamayam. Happiness will come from that. So that is why it is mentioned. Anando Brahmedi Vijanad. So when he came to that state, that means to the state of Vijnanamayam, at that time Varuna got involved and told Bhrigu, follow that route. When he came to that state after all this research, Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, he came to the Vijnanamayam stage, Varuna got involved and told Bhrigu, that is where you should put all your attention now. And fix there on towards Brahman, towards realizing the truth and continue the research. Ananda Brahmedi Vijanad. He says, Anando Brahmedi Vijanad. You will reach that state, Anandam. And when he reached the state of realization, of Brahman realization, he comes back to him. He didn't come back after that to Varuna anymore. Why is that? Because he has understood what it is. Realization has happened to him. And he realizes few things. Everything is situated in that Anandam, Brahmanandam. That experience what you are having, you are situated, experience everything in there. So that same experience is referred to Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti Shabdhyade. So that realization happened to him. See, the same thing is called as bhakti. The same thing is called as love, premam. So once you reach that stage, then what is the situation with that person? Sri Narada Maharshi says that in the Bhakti Sutra. We haven't reached that part yet. It says here, Matto Bhavati, Stabdho Bhavati, Tripto Bhavati, Atmadano Bhavati. And he is also Na Shochati, Na Ulsahi Bhavati. Bhakti Sutram, this is the statement from Sri Narada Maharshi when he comes to that. When you comes to that state of Anandam or bliss nature, he says, Matto Bhavati, is intoxicated state. Tripto Bhavati, fully satisfied. Atma Ramo Bhavati, he is always absorbed in the soul. Stabdho Bhavati, he is stunned. And Na Kinjil, Na Vanchadi, Na Utsahi Bhavati. There is no hankering or lamentation, no desires, and no enthusiasm for anything. Simply bliss. Simply blissful state. That is what is. So, and he is not anymore absorbed in anything in the world outside. So, once you have realized who we are inside, once we have realized this, then without giving any attention to anything outside in this world, and we will have that satisfaction from there. Say, somebody gave you a cup of sweet rice, you're walking through the corridor. Somebody gave you a small, this is Mahaprasadam Prabhu, you can have it. What will you do? You won't stand in front of everybody and take it, would you? You go to one corner when nobody is there, you want to enjoy it yourself. A very common scene you observe in the temples. So, you want to enjoy yourself. So, similarly, self-realization is like that. Once you have got it, then you don't want to lose it. You want to enjoy it yourself at that time. But that's why he says here. But look at this way. Sometimes you're watching television and a serial or something. Very seriously you're watching. If somebody comes and talks to you at that time, you feel very disturbed, isn't it? Very quickly you feel very disturbed. Why are you disturbed? We'll talk about it later. We'll keep him out of it, the whole place. You don't want to know anything at that point in time. All your mind is on the serial. So in the same way, it is like this. So even little small happiness like that, even for that you are willing to satisfy your needs to that way. Imagine the situation when self-realization happens, what will be the situation? So the reason is why this is spoken like that is this experience of the soul and the happiness from the soul, we all have now, right now, a little bit, very little. It's experiencing through the mind, intelligence, senses and sense gratification. That's why we are living in this world. Otherwise, you would have packed up and left from here long ago. Somehow or the other, we still have a desire to live, isn't it? In spite of all the miseries, all the taxes government puts on you, and all kinds of problems we have in this world, still there is a desire to live. Where is that desire coming from? That is what that anandam, atmaramatvam is trickling through somewhere and coming to us. And that, because it's coming in a very, very small quantity in us, we are able to live in this world. Otherwise, it's not possible. Who can find happiness in this material body? Who can find happiness in the complex mind inside? And always disturbing senses. Senses are a problem. Mind is a problem. Body is a problem. Everything is a problem in this world. In spite of that, we are still able to live in this world and still want to live. Why? Because of this little trickle of that Brahmanandam coming through us. That is how Krishna has created us. He says that you, in order to live, it's just like, they show the carrot to the donkey and keep him going. And similarly, Brahmanandam is like that. It keeps us going in this world. And we continue to find, and we are always hopeful, aren't we, about the future, that glorious future waiting to in front of us. So that's why it is said like that. So here you will notice one thing. So so a person, say for example, he has got a good job or good business going, and he is very beautiful, he has got good health and a lot of land, property, assets, and everything is there, but whatever happiness he is getting from that in all these material circumstances, Upanishad says 100 times more than that the devadas in the Pitralokam have got. When they say 100 times means not exactly 100 times, but means so much more times than that happiness what you get in this world, in the other planets they have got. That's how the planets are separated from us. Different planets have different levels of happiness inside. And 100 times more than that, the Gandharvas have got. What they got in Pitralokam, what happiness they have got, 100 times more than that is got the Gandharva. Gandharvas are a very nice group of people, always singing, dancing, enjoying life. Nothing else. Wandering from place to place, traveling from one place to another, and all man and woman together, singing, dancing and enjoying life. So somebody will say, oh, let me go to Gandharva Loka then. That's the place I'm looking forward to. So this way it is mentioned. Then there is demigods in responsible for your karma. Karma Devadas they are called, according to the karma. And they also have a very higher standard of happiness in their place. And then the demigods, they have a still higher happiness in their place. And more than all that, Indra has his happiness in his world. And more than the Indra has got Prajapati. Prajapati has got more happiness than the Indra. And more than that, 100 times more than that is the happiness from Brahman realization. Esha Brahmana Anandaha. It's all spoken like this to compare and to understand that what happiness. So don't write it down that it is 100 times this and 100 times that like that. It's not like that. It is that a lot more than happiness, level of happiness is different in the different planets. So Shruti tells us all these things. So this perfect state, when that will come, it is very difficult to say. And even if you get it somewhere, the balance can go also. For example, you see that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story. We have discussed this. In the birds species, yeah, Kapotam and Kapoti, two birds. They got married and they had children. After a long time, they had children. And in the nest, you should look at the conversation between the male bird and the female bird. They were always building plans for the future, how they will live their life happily in this world. And they were together, used to go for getting their food. And they'll go in the morning, come back in the evening, and they'll bring sufficient food for both of them. Both of them used to earn their own living. When they come back, they carried their life like this. They were not happy enough in that way. So they decided to have the family, start the family. And then the children were born, isn't it? When the children were born, Kapotam is telling to Kapodi, you have to look at the verses in the Bhagavatam, that now that you are pregnant, don't go out. I have to go on my own and I will bring the food for you. You have to be very careful because you are in that state now. You should take care very much. And he was going alone and bringing the food for him and Mrs. Kapoti together. And when he was bringing food, he had to work very hard. He has to get for himself and for the wife. She should have all the nourishment because she is in that state. So when he comes back, Kapodi says to Kapotam that Kapodi says to Kapotam that you shouldn't work hard like this, because if you get sick, what will happen to us? What will happen to us? He says this to Kapotam. Kapotam says, "Don't worry. When the children come, I'll be more relaxed about it, but you'll be able to come out with me. Till then, I'm determined to work in this way." So he goes out, comes back, goes out, comes back every day. And then one day, the babies were born. Babies were born. After the babies were born, they were in that bliss, the appearance of the babies in the house, in the nest. The way that simplicity and that innocence in the babies, and the sweet voice that was coming out. They had no capacity to earn their own food, get their own food. So how they were trying to fly, they couldn't fly, the wings were not born. So the male was telling, the Kapotam was telling Kapodi, "You stay here, look after them, it's very dangerous here. I will go, still I will do this till they grow up and all that." So it carried on for some time, and eventually what happened was, one day Kapodi says to Kapotam, that I am, Kapodi says to Kapotam, I will do this with you. Together we will go out for looking for food. He says like that to Kapotam. So one day they decided to go out together because Kapodi could not wait anymore to go out and earn the food. So they go out together, and that particular day a hunter comes with his net. And he saw these two, the babies from inside, they have come out of the nest. They want to fly. And they were making this beautiful voice from inside. So the nest, when he saw the nest, he knew this is the right situation to put the net on. He puts the net, and the babies fell underneath that, in the net. After a while, the both father and mother has come back. Mother sees this. Mother thinks at that moment, mother's thoughts. Sukadeva Goswami says this. Mother's thoughts. Mother is thinking that what is the use of my life in this world? See that? What's the use of my life in this world? That asakti, attachment there. And is there any point in me living anymore further? And he decides to decides to rescue these babies from there. And in the process, gets underneath the net and got into the net, because the hunter was waiting for that. He got inside, and it is after a while that the male bird comes. Kapotam comes. When Kapotam comes, what does he see? He says, "Kapoti and the babies all underneath the net." Kapotam thinks, "What is the use of me living in this world anymore?" That's what his thought was. Everything what I have lived for is inside the net. Let me die with them. It is better to die with them rather than living that. Sudhe Goswami says there, Yaprapya manusham logam mokshadvara mabavradam griheshu grihaval sattam tamarudachudam vidu. This is how he concludes that. Siddhartha prayo griham. That hunter, for him, he got what he wanted, all of them in the net. He had a good day, in other words. He goes home happily. And Sudhe Goswami says there that yaprapya manusham logam. Then we have been given this human body for something better than this. Just like Kapodam and Kapodi, to live in this world and to die. That's not the goal. Yaprapya manusham logam. Why? Because in this body, it is possible to escape from this cycle of birth and death, which is not possible in any other body. Mukti dwaram abhavridam. That door is left open for us to go in, to get inside. That's the open door for mukti, liberation. Griheshu grihaval sattam. That if we get attached in that home to that extent and it becomes absorbed in that, tamarudachudam vidum, then you will fall. From that state again goes back. So, coming back to this point, it is says that the story is there that who has come at that time? It is Kalapurushan, time personified, has come for him to go. So, everything, any activity in this world is coated with distress, which we don't know. We think that there is happiness in all these things, isn't it? But it's all coated with distress. If it is family life, if it's education, if it is job, if it is business, if it is anything you do in this world, it's all coated. A sugar coating is there, but which we don't know about this. There's a coating of that in there, of the distress there, and that we are unaware of. So, this Anandam, Brahmanandam, what Krishna is talking about here, is that thing which is not touched by that, which doesn't have that coating of distress anywhere. It is not there. Shandi, Nirvruti, and that is what Bhrigu got it, and Bhrigu was satisfied. And and this is the way that jnanam or knowledge was realized in the Vedic times, in this way. Knowledge was realized. There was not institutions where you went there and sat there from morning 10 to evening 4 o'clock and paid the fee and got it. That the system didn't exist. One-to-one basis, they went to the teacher, teacher told him, but teacher must be that state to instruct him in that way. They have to know that they did that. And so similarly, just like we can look at about this theory of evolution and all, the Darwin's theory. Actually, it is not a theory. It is logical. But it is logical if you look at Darwin's theory, isn't it? It looks logically right. But totally. But in prakriti, material nature, always, this is why when we don't understand the nature, we will use our intelligence and come to conclusions and things go wrong. You see, Darwin's theory is telling us, logically it is correct. It kept developing evolution as he calls it, and eventually the perfection has come. The human body is perfection, he says. But if you really look into nature, always it is the other way. Perfection is first manifests in this world. And from perfection, it gets degraded, and it comes down. The other way it is. I don't know whether you get this point. You see, we think that through evolution we perfect. Isn't it? That is Darwin is saying. That over a period of time, everything became perfect and we have reached this perfection of life now in this human body from other species. Shastram says the opposite. Shastram says in the beginning everything was perfect. Over a period of time, it got degraded, and we have come to this stage now. That is why it is said, in Satyayugam, people had perfect knowledge, perfect realization, and perfect goal in Satyayugam. As it came affected by Rajogunam, in Tretayugam, it so happened that it was affected by influence of Rajogunam has changed everything. And due to the touch of Rajogunam, the whole thing became
completely lost that track. In other words, people started thinking that I have to produce food, I have to harvest, I have to work hard, and things like that. Due to the influence of Rajogunam, it has happened like that. And then it came to Dwabara Yugam. When it came to Dwabara Yugam, you had to cultivate food to live in this world. And in Kali Yugam, this is the only thing that's going on to survival here, isn't it? So why is this shift? So perfection was in Satya Yugam, where people had no desire for material advancement, complete knowledge, able to execute spiritual life in full satisfaction, with the full goal in life. So from perfection came imperfection. Darwin's theory says from imperfection, perfection came. It's just the opposite. See? Shastram don't accept that. Shastram says everything was perfect in the beginning. That's what Krishna is also saying. Krishna is saying in the beginning everything was perfect. Over a period of time, we lost a message, it got degenerated or degraded, and we have reached this stage at this stage where we are now. We have come to this stage, Krishna is saying like that, isn't it? Sakale nehamhada yogo nashta parandava, Krishna says. So, these important things we have to bear in mind, that when we are trying to understand Shastram, if your head is completely filled with Darwin's theory, you, Shastram will find it very difficult to get in. It will all look very, they'll say it is mythology then. But we should know the principle behind it. Shastram is saying to us that everything was perfect in the beginning. As time advanced, it started, degeneration started, and it has come to this stage. All jnanis, all jnanamargam philosophy, it is like that. Jnanamargam is like that. So, if you look into any great Mahatmas ashrams or places of spiritual centers, in other words, big spiritual centers, you will see the same thing happening. When the realized soul first, everything is perfect. He will, because that is there, the person is there with the realizations, there will be the effect of that, will be there. And then he will go. And once he is gone, his direct disciples will come. And they may have understood probably 10% or 10% realization they may have, if they have it. Or even 5%, you can never say what they have got it. Something they have understood, so they will try to run in that basis. So on that basis you will get it, whatever it. That's why we said, first realize soul and then the direct disciples. And after that, they will preach. And when they will preach, what will happen? Those who are attracted to it, they will come. And attracted to them, but they won't know anything about the person who started everything, from whom it has originally started. They won't have a clue. So they will become what they call devotees. It means they are devoted to that mission, or they are devoted to that institution in that way. It will become like that. That will be their great satisfaction in life. I'm devoted, or I'm a member of this institution or that institution. That's where their satisfaction coming from. So first from the realized soul, it comes to the direct disciples, and then from the disciples it will become the devotees will come. And from that, after devotees have become a little number, increased number there, large number becomes, then those devotees will have preached to so many others, so they'll become their followers of these personalities. Followers will come from that. And some of them, of these followers, because they'll take that message, they'll understood it as they read it, and they'll become very fanatic about that. And that's how this fanatics comes. Some of them will turn out like that, very fanatics. And then some of them will find there is a job to be done there. So that's when the office bearers come. They want to run the administration, they think where the money is, and look there. And then they get involved in that also. And from then on, everything will be more like an institutional state. That then there will be some, like everywhere else in big institutions, you got bureaucrats. So there will be bureaucrats in spiritual institutions also.
And then these bureaucrats will wave their way through, whichever way they like it. They will play all the games, what's necessary to keep the system for them going. The system moving is important for them than the spiritual realization or anything else. That's not anymore a priority. That's all gone long ago. That is left. Then the important thing is the institution should go on. That becomes the, not that everybody's spiritual life is important, the institution is important. And that is where everything gets completely changed. So this is that parambra. So by the time it comes to that stage, there will be only words. There will be no more message in there anymore. Message is lost already in that process. So it will go on like this, and sometime someone may perfect out of this also, in this state, in this confusion, all what is happening. Someone will may reach the state of perfection. That need not be happening there itself. It can happen anywhere else. In that perfection will come. So then there, so you just look at the sages. See what the sages did. Whatever they have realized, they made sure that their children have acquired that knowledge. Acquired their knowledge. In other words, they will try to elevate them at least to the level what they have reached. They will develop them to that level. So that is why all the disciplic succession in the Vedic times, Shishya Parambara, disciplic succession was Putra Parambara, through their own children. If you look that, that is why that fifth verse, Tebhya, Pidrubhya, Talputraha, Deva, Danava, Guhyagaha, Manushyaha, Siddha Gandharvaha, Sa Vidyadhara Charanaha, Kindevaha, Kinnaraha, Nagaha, Rachaha, Kim Purushadeyaha, Bhuvastesham, Pragradayaha, Rajasatta, Tamobhuvaha. See how that system works. All these people, they've all accepted the Vedic authority, but they've all understood in different ways. They are all different species in the sense that you can see from different planets where they live, they have their own understanding of the Vedic literature. Krishna is saying, I gave it to Brahma. Brahma gave it to all these who have been created, and they took it on their own, and they've understood in their own way. Understood in their own way. And then what it is, Kim Deha Devaha Kim Devaha Kim Nagaha Vidyadharas Charanas and Siddha Gandharva Vidyadhara Charanaha. According to their vasana, they have reached that state. Then some people, you cannot say whether they are demigods or whether they are Gandharvas. It is very difficult to say that in some instances. So Krishna says here, Kinjil Purushaha Vanaraha, and they are little bit Purushaha. Sridhar Swami says like this. And so it is some people, you don't know in which category you want to put them in, which category they belong to. So Bhasamahu Bahustesham Pragradayaha. Let their form be anything, it doesn't matter. And their pragrati or their nature is different from one to another or different sampradayam. But father to son, and in that way their situations happen. Rajasattva tamabhuvaha, rajogunam sattogunam tamogunam. Everything will come and attack them. And the result was that prakritayo vasana bahvaha. After some time, what was happened was, Krishna says there, Keshanjil adhyenadi shunyanam madhya upadesha parambaryenaha, he says there. So, like this, the studying of the Vedas or Shastram has carried on like this, and after some time what's happened, they started saying, teaching is not necessary. But if you are the son of a spiritual master, you are a spiritual master. That stage started coming. You just have to be the son of a spiritual master. Teaching is not necessary anymore. This is all the defects in the parambara happens like this. We think parambara is not something that we print a few names one after the other and says parambara is functioning in this way. That's not how it is. Parambara works like this. If the realization of the original person, if it has gone on to the next person, complete. If it has gone to the next person, then that parambara is existing. Other parambara breaks. Parambara has not have any effect on the people. So sometimes what happens is that father to son, son becomes a spiritual master in a natural course. In some parambaras it is like that.
that son becomes the next spiritual master, and his son becomes the next spiritual master. Sometimes they joke about this, that they make fun about it, and they say, the wife is telling the husband, why don't you go and make some disciples and make some money out of it, and keep living like that. They accepted it that way. And you get a few disciples and make some money. So there is no food at home to eat. He goes and plays cards somewhere, sitting there. So when he comes home, the wife is telling the husband, at least why don't you go and make some disciples? And that's how spiritual life comes to. It can degrade into all these things. So, so it says here, if you do not accept Shastram, that is what Krishna mentions there. If you do not accept Shastram, you will turn into in this kind of situations. Evam pagrati vaijityar vidyande matayo nirnam parambaryena keshanjil pakanta matayo abare. So originally the intention was to deliver people from material life and to give them spiritual self-realization. And in course of time, what has happened? It has all turned out in this way. It has turned out in different forms. Suvastesha Pragadaha. So, we'll stop there today and we'll continue in another 3 or 4 weeks. Yeah. Okay. So, Keshanjil Adhenadi Shunyanam Mani Upadesha Parambaryanaha. So, this concept that the father to son has gone on. If you have not understood that, then what will happen? Sometimes people come and take sannyasam, isn't it? Sannyasa ashram. They enter into sannyasa ashram. So what happens at that time? They have given up all the vyavaharam in this world, all transactions in this world, and they're taken to sannyasa ashram also. So, what will happen to them is that whatever problems or defects are there in their dealings in this world, that will follow them when they come to sannyasa ashram. It will happen like that. So, that will always be there. Even if they want to give it up, it will not be possible. It will not be possible. Just like if you touch fire, you will get burned. If you get water, you will get moist. Similarly, whatever connections you have with the material nature in any form, all that defects or faults, that will affect their subtle body. That will affect their subtle body, Andhakaranam. So, how does it affect the subtle body? It will create some kind of impact on the subtle body. With the result of that, whenever they speak, those defects will come through their words. Their defects will come through their words. So, pakhandam. Pakhandam means keshanjil parambaryena pakhandam athayaha, he says. That pakhanda buddhi means this nature in them. That means they have gone far away from the truth, but it is still remaining in the disciplic succession. Parambaryam, it is staying there. So, so then on that basis, the preaching or propagation will go on in that state, and that will have its effect also in the same way. It will affect in the same way. This is why Shastram is insisting that self-realization is important. And those who are self-realized, Krishna says there, isn't it? That upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. He insists that word there. Tattva darshitvam is important. One who knows the tattvam, only he can take another person to the tattvam. Otherwise, it is not possible. Therefore, they have put certain, they put this, what do they call the requirements mandatory in these things. Compulsory. They have insisted. They insist that this must be there. Not for any other reason. And over a period of time, what happens? Because of our understanding has changed, and people who have come later on, they will start interpreting in different ways. So by the time the message reaches someone, it completely gets missed, the message gets lost in that process. And this happens not today, it has happened throughout the history. It has happened. That is why it is said like that. So just like many things people do in the process of preaching, many people, they use
techniques, different techniques to attract people, isn't it? And if your rajogunam and tamogunam is very strong in you, then you will try all artificial methods to attract followers. You will do it because of the rajogunam and tamogunam inside. Whereas strictly speaking, a self-realized soul doesn't have to do anything. By his self-realization alone, the people will come to him. That is the very nature of the self-realized state. That many, many great personalities, they don't have to go looking for people to come to them. Naturally, the very realized state itself will attract that peace in them, the tranquility, realization will automatically pull people towards them. There are always people looking for self-realization in this world, and self-realized souls will pull them towards them. But when it becomes in this state, what can happen is, as much as this goes on, paghandamatayam, that means people will start using all kinds of techniques to get people into their camp, isn't it? And sometimes it gets really bad. And what will happen is that they will try to influence the society, especially in the modern world, with the presence of media. Media is a very powerful thing, isn't it? You see, in the olden days, you knew the person who is appearing on the television or presenting. Nowadays, you don't know the person. You are only hearing what he is saying, isn't it? Or you are watching on the television, Asta or whichever television channel, for half an hour, 45 minutes. Based on that, if you start making your realizations, your spiritual life, you will be doomed. Because you don't know him. Person, you don't know each other. And that is why, what is his situation, where he is at this point in time in his life. And it can all become very complicated, very complex. So that is why this media also is not very helpful in realizing the truth. It will attract people, a lot of people will come here. You can't say that there is no benefit from that. Yes, there is some benefit. At least instead of watching serial, they will watch something better on the television. And it may have, at least they are hearing something about Krishna, something about Ramchandra. In that way, they will have some benefit from that. But those who are very serious about spiritual life, these television programs cannot help. That's not good enough. Because they have its own limitations. And if, depending on the person who is speaking, pakandam atayo avare, that he can even bring you into pakandam state in that way. That is what Krishna is saying here. Evam prakriti vaishitryal vidyande matayo nranam parambaryana keshanjal pakandam atayo apare pakandam atayo apare manmaya mohida dhiya purusha purusharshabha shreyo vadandi ekandam yadha karma yadha aruchi. If you understand these two words, yadha karmam yadha ruchi, that's all it is. Yadha karmam yadha ruchi means his karmam will be based on his taste. Yadha karmam yadha ruchi, that's what it is. Suppose his ruchi is for something, his karmam will turn into that ruchi. Ruchi means taste, according to his taste. So he says here, so that is important point, that Veda Viruddhaha, they are all against the Vedas. All these things, what we are talking about, is against the principle of Vedam. Vedam doesn't accept any of these things. But in this process, everybody changes things and interprets in different ways and pushes people to accept this as the truth. So he says here, Manmaya Mohidadhiya, all due to the presence of Maya. Krishna's Maya, and they are fallen into that Mohidadiya. Purusha Purusharshaba Shreyo Vadandi Ekandam. So Shreyo Vadandin Ekandam Yadha Karma Yadha Ruji. So because it is like that, according to their karmam, according to their taste, Krishna says to Uddhava, they will speak about the truth in that particular way which they have come to their own conclusions. Then Dharma Mega Yashas Chanyel Kamam satyam damam shamam anye vadanti swartham va aishwaryam tyaga bhojanam. Dharmam eka yashas chanyel. Some people say dharmam is important. Some people say shreyas is important. Kamam is important. Some people are saying satyam, truthfulness, control of mind, control of senses, opulences. And some people say yajnyam, means sacrifice, tapas austerities, charity, and different kinds of performance of rules and regulations, all this is spoken as the goal of life. Dharma mega yashaschanyel kamam satyam damam shamam anyevadandi swartham va aishwaryam tyaga bhojanam dukkodarkastamo nishta kshudranandaha shucharpidaha kejil yajnyatapodanam pradani nayaman yaman adyandavandaye vaisham loga karma vinirmidaham. There Krishna closes that discussion. Krishna says here, very seriously, Krishna puts it forward. He says, Uddhava, understand this. All these things, what we have discussed so far, dukkodarka tamo nishta kshudranandaha shucharpidaha, they have all come, will generate at some point in time, dukkham. Dukkham, it will come. Distress will come from all that. You won't get that state of happiness. Why? They are all meant for kshudranandaha shucharpidaha. He says here, why? They are all coming from karma. You see, karma cannot get you to perfection. This we have to accept it. We have this gross misunderstanding in our head that by doing something, I will get it. Because that's what we are used to in this world, isn't it? All of us are living in this world, working for what? To get the result. So we bring that same principle into spiritual life and start thinking that if I work very hard in spiritual life, I'll get it. Krishna says, anything that has come from karma, dukkodarka tamo nishta kshudranandaha shucharpidaha, he says there, it can never bring you a permanent happiness, will never come from that. Why? Adyandavandam evesham logaha karma vinirmidaha. From beginning to end, in this world, what goes on is nothing but karma. Karma vinirmida. Karma has created in this world, that's all what is going on. And we all fall into the trap of karma, and we start thinking in the same way, karma will protect us, and karma will take me to the goal of spiritual realization also. And that is the greatest misunderstanding in ourselves. Very difficult to get rid of that from inside, isn't it? Because we in our life, what have we learned so far? All life we have worked or did something and we got the result from that. We are thinking, why not the same thing happen in spiritual life? I have to work for spiritual life very hard and simply by working, I'll get the result. That's already decided in my head. And it is with this concept that I'm coming to spiritual life. So what will happen? I will work very hard in spiritual life also, whatever I understood. Accordingly, I will start my work in that direction. But what Krishna is saying here, adhyandavanda evesham lokaha karma vinirmidaha, that because it is all created from karma, because it's all created from karma, it can never become perfect. So Krishna says here, and because of this, that paganda badhayaha, lot kind of people have come about in this world, and because of their faith in the karma, and the result is that Krishna says, it is my own fault. He kept the fault on his own head. Krishna says, I am responsible for that situation, in the sense that I put them into the world of karma, and they have fallen into that trap of karma, and they are thinking because of karma they will make it. In that way they are trying to advance. So because manmaya mohidadhiya, maya has, my own maya, man maya, Krishna says, my maya has taken control over them. So, according to their nature, according to their pleasure, taste, there they are giving different opinions from that. So, from there, different sampradayams have come in this world. Krishna says like that. Whether to accept the sampradayam or to reject that sampradayam, we don't know. And so for some people, something will be good and something will be bad. Altogether, what happens is a total confusion to the people's mind. And that is why Krishna says like that, dharma mega yashaschanye kamam satyam damam shamam anye vadandi swartham va aishwaryam tyaga bhojanam dukkodarkaha tamo nishtaha kshudranandaha shucharpidaha kejid yajnyam tapas danam vratam niyamam yamam adhyandavandam evesham lokaha karma vinirmidaha. Then Krishna says, mayyarpidatmana sabhya nirabhekshasya sarvada mayatmana sukham yatal kritasyal vishayatmanam. He says, a devotee or some person who has completely surrendered to me, taken my shelter. And me alone as the goal in life, one who lives in this world, Krishna says that such a person, the spiritual realization and knowledge is readily available. He will get to that stage. And that is why Krishna is saying in that way. So then, after saying that, in that chapter you will see that Krishna says there, what is that state of bhakti? That we will discuss next time. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Just mention, you won't be here for 3 weeks.
After that, we'll hopefully continue.